Hey folks, it's James Cooper with Free Indeed Prison Ministry, and I'm here doing another podcast today on the most important prophecy in the entire Bible. How many of you knew that there was a prophecy given not just by one of the prophets, but by God's very own messenger angel, Gabriel himself? He brought this prophecy. He brought this message to Daniel. And it tells in the most clearest and simplest terms of any scriptures in the Bible what the mission of Christ is, what the purpose of God sending Christ into the world was all about. This is what God sent Christ to do. And it is so important. Every person needs to know this prophecy. But this prophecy tells what will be accomplished when the Messiah, the Prince, comes. And in Daniel 9:24, it starts out, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now this 70 weeks is 70 weeks of years. The ancient Hebrew calendar had weeks of days, like we do, and they had weeks of years. And this prophecy is given in that setup, them 70 weeks of years, which is 490 years. So the angel Gabriel told Daniel, 490 years are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So these six things that are spoken here, all of this was fulfilled on the cross of Calvary, except the very last one, to anoint the most holy. And that was actually the first one to be fulfilled when Jesus began his ministry. When he was baptized at the River Jordan and the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the bodily form as a dove, and God spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." This was the Lord Jesus Christ being anointed by God himself, the Most Holy, and he began his ministry. Now, what it says will be accomplished before this 490 years is up is to finish the transgression. The law of Moses was added because of transgression until the seed should come, which is Christ. You can read that over in Galatians chapter 3. The law of Moses had a beginning date. It was given because of transgression, because when God came down and spoke to his people from Mount Sinai, what we know of as the Ten Commandments, he was going to write his law in their hearts that day. And he told them, if you will just obey my voice and keep my covenant, if you will simply listen to what I'm going to tell you, you will be unto me a peculiar treasure above all the people of the earth, for all the earth is mine. And you will be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You will be unto me. Your very existence will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. They was going to be what God purposed man to be in the beginning, what God had created mankind to be in his likeness and his image. Praise God. Their very existence, what they would be if they would simply listen to God, if they would just lay hold to what God was speaking to them. And they drew back. As God spoke to them, they drew back and they said, "Don't let God speak to us lest we die. Let Moses speak to us. We will hear Moses." God was so hurt and offended. He said, "They've said, well, what's in their heart? They don't want me. They want Moses? We will give them Moses." They received 613 laws, ordinances, and commandments that governed every aspect of their life. Because of the transgression, because they drew back and did not want to receive from God. But The angel Gabriel told Daniel that before these 490 years is up, there will be one who will finish the transgression and make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, and bring in everlasting righteousness. Praise God. Now, this is the undoing of what happened in the Garden of Eden. This is the work of redemption, is to redeem us back to what God had purposed and created man to be. But this tells us what his mission is. It tells us exactly what Christ would do. The very next verse will identify Christ. It calls him the Messiah, the Prince, which is simply the Hebrew language of the Old Testament for the Greek language that the New Testament was translated from, the Christ, the Son. The Messiah, the Prince, is the same as the Christ, the Son. It's just two different languages. Now, everyone would agree that he made reconciliation for iniquity when he went to the cross. He went to the cross and died to reconcile us to God. Everybody who calls themselves a Christian would agree with this. But why was we not told that he made an end of sin? This is the very heart of his mission. It is sin, the iniquity, the inner working of sin in the heart that separated man from God. This is the purpose of Christ being made flesh and dying on the cross to reconcile us back to God, to make an end of sin. Why was we not told that he made an end of sin? You know, is this not important? Wasn't this important? If God said in Revelation chapter 21 that there shall in no wise enter the new heavens and the new earth any kind of sin, anything that maketh a lie, any abomination, any kind of sin, it is impossible for it to enter the new heavens and the new earth. That's what the words no wise mean. It's not going to be a exception. There will be no exceptions. There will be no possibility. It will in no wise enter. Well, if there is no sin going to enter the new heavens and the new earth, and he made an end of sin at the cross, isn't this important? Why was we not told this? Why was I not told this when I was younger and grew up in church? Why was I not told this as a young man when I was living in the depths of sin? Why were we not told this, that he made an end of sin at the cross? Is this not important? When Jesus said, on that day, on judgment day, I will say to many, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. But he was talking to those who believed with all their heart they knew him. He was talking to those who had lived a life of religion, serving what they thought was serving the Lord. They said, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out devils in your name and in your name done many wonderful works? But Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. He didn't say, oh, wait a minute, I forgot about all those things you did. I forgot about all the years you spent pastoring a church or leading worship or teaching the Sunday school. I forgot. No, he said, I never knew you. This is the dividing line. Iniquity in the heart. Sin, the sin nature still in the heart that we were born with because of Adam's transgression. And if it will not enter the new heavens and the new earth, isn't it important that we know this was the very heart of his mission? This is what Christ died to do. And it's so amazing to me that today, if somebody will see this in the scriptures, in the word of God, and pick it up and preach it and declare it, why is it that all the religious leaders come against you so hard? It makes them furious. It provokes them. They try to shut you down, shut your ministry down. Why is that? Because we're telling them what the word of God says. But it's also telling the religious leaders that they are wrong. Those who are preaching that we're all sinners. As long as we're in this body, we're going to be a sinner. The word of God says he will make an end of sin. An end means it's over. Praise God. And he did this by crucifying our old man of sin with him. Praise God. It's all recorded in the scriptures. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin be destroyed, that henceforth we do not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Praise God. Isn't it important that we know these things? The very heart of the gospel, the powerful foundational truths of the gospel right here in the scriptures. And it's amazing how you can go to a church your whole life and never hear these things. That you can go to a church for so many years and the preacher never even go to these verses. Why was we not told these things? He made an end of sin. When he cried, "It is finished," he had done everything that God sent Christ to do. He made an end of sin. Praise God. He made reconciliation for iniquity. He brought in everlasting righteousness, the very nature of God. And people say, well, God doesn't do what you said. You mean he doesn't do what I read? I'm reading the Word of God. I am reading out of the King James Bible. And it is very important that you use a King James Bible. If this is a important key to understanding the truth of the gospel, the truth that Jesus said would make you free, it's also going to be a important key place for Satan to try to destroy. And I've done a comparison on 35 different translations of Bibles. And one day I thought, man, this is the most important prophecy in the entire Bible. This is the one that tells in the most simple terms of any scripture in the Bible what his mission was, what God sent Christ to do. So this has got to be one that Satan would attack. And I went and I compared it with the modern translations of the Bibles. And you will not see this prophecy for what it says in the modern translations. Just like you won't see all of the other great foundational truth in the scripture of the work of the cross and the blood, the work of salvation, it is destroyed in the modern translations. This is Satan's greatest victory. He is a religious devil. He deceives through the working of the church, through the doctrines of the church, and he has totally perverted and twisted the Word of God in the modern translations of the Bible in this last generation. This is his greatest victory. People believe because it says Holy Bible on the cover, they have the Word of God. No, you have a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. You have what looks like the Word of God, but if you know what the Word of God says in the King James Bible and believe it for what it says, it'll do what Jesus said the truth will do. It'll make you free. And it presents salvation and sanctification as a finished work. It was finished at the cross. Praise God. The modern translations put it into a process that you are being saved. You are being sanctified. And that we're all sinners. Whosoever is born of God does not habitually sin. They don't practice sin. That is not what God's Word said. That's what it has been changed into to deceive the very elect, if possible, to deceive multitudes, and it has. But why was we not told this, that he made an end of sin? It's right here in plain sight. It's right here in the very most important prophecy of the scriptures concerning Christ and concerning our salvation. Why was we not told this? Because Satan doesn't want you to know it. Satan has to deceive because he's lost his power to hold a person in bondage to sin if they hear the truth and they believe it. The only way he can hold you bondage to sin is by you believing his lie. That's the only power he has to hold you in sin. If you will let go of the lie and lay hold of the truth, he cannot stop you from being made free. He cannot stop the work of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed 2,000 years ago and is still just as powerful today. He cannot stop the work of the cross to crucify your old man, or the blood to wash and sanctify you from all sin. He cannot stop that. But you've got to believe it. You've got to want it and believe it. So he don't want you to even hear the truth. Because once you hear the truth, you cannot unhear it. Once you hear the truth, you have a choice then to believe the truth. Also, once you hear the truth, you can recognize the lie. One man came and told me after a service in one of the units, he says, "Brother Cooper, I have been so misled all of my life." This is somebody that heard the truth and recognized the lie. Praise God. That's the only power Satan has, but it is a great power. It is a great stronghold. The believing the wrong message is his stronghold. And the way he holds a person in bondage to sin is they believe it's from God. They believe what they heard and what they received is from God. But I have to ask you this. Did it make you free? Free from sin? Why does most of the modern church today say nobody's free from sin? We're all sinners. Because what they're teaching, what they're preaching, the message they're giving cannot make you free from sin. So of course, everyone who hears and believes that message is still a sinner. But it's not because of the body. It's not because, well, as long as we're in this body, as long as we're in this flesh. No, the body has never been the problem. The Apostle Paul said, "Every sin a man doeth is without the body." The body didn't make you sin. Before the body even acted it out, it was already committed in the heart, probably many times over. The sin is in the heart. The body is not the problem. And the way we take our last breath is the way we're going to stand before God and the way we're going to spend eternity. If the Lord returns before we take our last breath, which for most of you hearing this podcast, that will be the case. That's how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ. We're 56 years into the last generation right now. Into the last generation that Jesus said would be shortened for the sake of the elect. The time of great trouble that Jesus and so many of the prophets warned us about has already begun. It's already begun over there in Israel, and it is going to spread worldwide. There is a time of trouble like the world has never seen since the beginning of creation, just ahead of us. And the return of Jesus Christ is very soon. There has never been a time more urgent to draw nigh to God, to be found in that secret place of the Most High. We do have a place of safety in this storm, and it is Psalms 91, but it is not a place a person is going to run to when the storm comes. It is a place of safety for those who are already there, already in the ark when the storm begins. Praise God. But this prophecy is so important to understand. And I'm going to go to the next scripture now, verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the streets shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times." This prophecy gives 3 timelines. The first one was the complete timeline from the beginning to the end. This next one tells when the Messiah will appear, but it also tells the beginning date of the prophecy, the countdown, when the countdown begins. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild, to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince." Now, the commandment was given by King Artaxerxes, king of the Medes and Persians. And when he gave that commandment, the countdown began. And this second timeline, 7 weeks and 62 weeks, that is 483 years. So from the beginning of the countdown of this prophecy, 483 years into it, it says the Messiah, the Prince, will appear. And I want to tell you, this prophecy was exact. It was so accurate, so right on time. The year that this prophecy said that the Messiah, the Prince, will appear. Jesus stood on the banks of the River Jordan, was baptized by John the Baptist. He was anointed the Most Holy, and he began his ministry. Now, his ministry lasted 3.5 years. And as he began his ministry, there's 1 week left of this prophecy. There is 7 years left, which is 1 week in the prophecy. And the next scripture says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. 3.5 years into that last week, the Messiah was crucified. He was cut off, but not for himself. Now, this very next sentence is one that I want to clarify. This is one of the most misunderstood, twisted, and perverted sentences, scriptures in the whole Bible. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, the people of the prince that shall come. And right here is where modern prophecy teachers who teach the end time prophecy teachings, they make a complete wrong turn and head off into what I call la-la land. They head off into man-made fables. And I'm telling you, this is worldwide spread. It is famous prophecy teachers that teach the people of the prince that shall come is actually Rome and Titus. Titus brought Rome down and destroyed the city. Yes, he did. But that is not the prince that shall come and is not the people of the prince that shall come. This prophecy is Daniel 9:24 through 27, just 4 verses, and it is all about the Messiah, the Prince. All of it. But they take this last scripture, verse 27, and build their foundational doctrine of one they call the Antichrist. And it has deceived multitudes. It has deceived the very elect, just like Jesus said. You know, this morning when I woke up, I was thinking about some of these things. And I was thinking, you know, why didn't Jesus warn us about the Antichrist? If that was going to be the main topic of the end time doctrines, you know, if this was going to be one of the main events of the end time, and why didn't Jesus warn us about the Antichrist? And it hit me. He did. He did warn us. He said, beware lest any man deceive you. He said, for in our generation, in this last days, there will be many false prophets deceiving the very elect, if possible. And this is the biggest deception, the biggest false doctrine, false teaching, false scenario of the end time that is out there. The people of the prince that shall come. I've been doing messages for YouTube, and I've done a couple on this prophecy, the 70 weeks prophecy. And before I did one, I just checked online, and on YouTube, it seemed like there was 100 prophecies. And I'm probably exaggerating, but there was a lot. There was a lot of prophecies on the end time of the Antichrist. So many videos, YouTube videos on the 70 weeks prophecy, but every one of them turn the second half of this prophecy to the Antichrist. And I listened to just a couple of the videos, just kind of scanned through it, listened to some parts of it. And one of them, the preacher said, when he got to verse 26, and the people of the prince that shall come, he said, now, it is not even possible that this can be the Messiah, the Prince, because the people of the Prince that shall come destroyed the city and the sanctuary. Well, I'm going to present to you the truth of the gospel, the truth of this prophecy, just by believing the Word of God for exactly what it says. not trying to make it say something else, believing it for exactly what it says, and you will see that truth of the Word of God. And I'm going to explain this and present it to you that it is not possible. It is not even possible that this, the people of the prince that shall come, could be any other prince than the Messiah, the prince. It is not possible. Praise God. Now, first I'm going to go through some scriptures. And this word destroy, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. This word destroy is a Hebrew word that is pronounced shakath. And it's, the definition is to decay. That is causatively ruin, corrupt, and destroy. Now, this was common language in the Old Testament. This is common language in the Word of God. This word used, corrupt or to destroy, was actually used 146 times in the Old Testament. And I'm going to read just some of these scriptures. In Genesis 6 and 11, this is at the very beginning of the Bible, and God told Noah, he said, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That word corrupt is this Hebrew word. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Every time this word corrupt or destroyed is used, it is this Hebrew word, shakath. And when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it was because the people of the city had corrupted themselves. Okay, in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 7, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. In Deuteronomy 4 and 25, when thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall remain long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a golden image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. In Deuteronomy 31 and 29, Moses told the people, for I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way that I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. You'll corrupt yourselves. This language is used over and over throughout the Old Testament. And then in Hosea 13 and 9, God spoke to Israel through the prophet Hosea. And he said, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. Now, when the nation of Israel served God, there was not a people on this planet, a nation on this planet that could touch them, that could harm them. God's hand of protection was upon them. He had set his love upon them. He said, you're the apple of my eye. If anyone tried to come against Israel, it was like they poked God in the eye, poked their finger in his eye. That wouldn't be good. There was no nation that could touch them. But when they forsook God, when they corrupted themselves, they destroyed themselves. God would use another nation to come against them. He brought Babylon down and destroyed them and took those who God had prepared this. They took them captive to preserve a remnant. But God destroyed them when they had corrupted themselves but they brought it on themselves. They destroyed themselves. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, the scripture just before this tells who the prince is and when he will come. The Messiah, the prince. And it will be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. The people of the prince that shall come. It is not possible that this is going to some totally different person and people when it is just explained it so clearly. The people of the prince that shall come was the prince of the previous verse. Now, I want to go over to the book of Luke. And in chapter 18 and verse 31, I want to just show what the wrong believing can do, how strong of a hold it has. And this prophecy of the Messiah, the prince, has been so twisted and perverted, and people believe it. It's like the old saying, if you tell a lie and you tell it loud enough and you tell it long enough, people will believe it. Well, this prophecy of the Antichrist has filled this last generation, and it has no scriptural foundation whatsoever. We're going to get to that here in just a few minutes. But this prophecy has been told so long by so many and deceived the whole world. In Revelation chapter 12, it talks about that old serpent, the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. We're in the last days of the last generation. When do you think that's going to happen? Man, I tell you, within this last generation, that beast that John seen in Revelations that rose up, that had horns like a lamb, but when it spake as a dragon. That beast coincides with this last generation, and it looks like a lamb. It presents itself as the Lamb of God. It's the great imitator. It's the church of this last generation. But when it speaks of like a dragon. It speaks doctrines that belong to the dragon, not the doctrine which belongs to the Lamb. The Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Praise God. This is right in line with the prophecy Gabriel brought. He'll make an end of sin. He made an end of sin at the cross. He crucified our old man of sin. This is the doctrine of the Lamb of God. The doctrine that belongs to the dragon is that very spirit of Antichrist, that we're all sinners as long as we're in this body. It's saying the opposite of what the prophecy of the Christ said. He'll make an end of sin. Any spirit that opposes that, that fights against that, we're all sinners. That's the doctrines that belong to the dragon. But here in the generation that Jesus came to, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But they had been taught something wrong. They had been taught the wrong teaching. And I want to show the power of believing the wrong thing. Everyone believes that what I believe is truth. Everyone thinks that. Everyone thinks what they believe is the truth because they believe it. Everyone holds to what they believe as their source of truth instead of the Word of God. And I'll say this, if a person is still struggling with sin, a person who's trying to serve God and they're still struggling with sin, it's because they have believed the doctrines of the church instead of the Word of God in the King James Bible. They have believed the wrong thing, and that is Satan's stronghold. But the Jews did not view themselves as sinners. They had been taught the prophecy of the Christ. Man, they had been taught that prophecy from a child all the way up. That was the most important prophecy in the whole Bible. They had the Old Testament. They had the prophets. And this prophecy told them about one that would come called the Messiah, the Prince. We just read it. It told what he would do. But to a people who did not view themselves to be sinners, they made the prophecy fit what they had been taught. See, they were taught sin is the outward acts, that if you break the law of Moses, you will die. Sin comes with a death sentence. Praise God. They knew something that the modern church of America does not know today. Sin comes with a death sentence. They cannot be separated. Yes, the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. But God doesn't take the death sentence away from sin and give you eternal life. He takes the sin away. Praise God. And then the death sentence is also gone. But people are taught that we're all sinners, but God has given you eternal life simply by repeating a prayer or believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, whatever their form or method was to present you that now you're saved. And I'll tell you this, no man should tell another man, now you're saved. Because salvation is a pure heart. You don't know when Christ has came in and purified that heart. It is not through a form. Salvation doesn't come in a form. It comes in a savior. But when a person tells someone else, now you're saved because you repeated this prayer with me, or because we baptized you, whatever their method was, they're telling them, now you're saved from hell. And that is Satan's biggest deception, which began about 200 years ago and has filled the church. Salvation is not from hell. Deliverance is and rescued, which is what saved means, is not from hell. It's from sin. Hell is connected to sin. Sin will be cast into the lake of fire, along with hell, into the lake of fire for all of eternity. He takes the sin away. The wages of sin is death. That's gone when the sin is gone. Praise God. But the Jews thought we're not sinners because we keep the law of Moses. It's not sin unless you do it. The law of Moses didn't deal with the condition of the heart. It dealt with the outward acts of sin. And Jesus came in his ministry and he started teaching them sin is in the heart. He said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, if a man look upon a woman and desire her in his heart, he already has committed adultery. And I'm sure every person that heard that was condemned in their own heart. They knew what was in their heart. They knew it was there. And they hated Jesus for what he was teaching, what he was speaking and telling them. They did not view themselves as sinners. As long as they kept the law, as long as they didn't break the law outwardly. And Jesus said in John 15, if I had not come and spoke to them, they would have had no sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Did they have sin before Jesus spoke to them? Absolutely, but they didn't know it. They didn't have a problem with sin until they knew what sin was. Until they knew it's inside the heart, and then they had no cloak for their sin. They couldn't cover it up. They knew it was there, and everyone else knew it was there. But this people had been taught their whole life that when the Messiah comes, and they knew the year that was prophesied, the timeline, the 70 weeks prophecy, man, the leaders of Israel knew how to do the math. They knew the very year that Jesus appeared in his ministry. They knew that's the year prophesied that the Messiah would appear. And it says that in Luke, all people, all men were in great expectation. All men mused in their heart. They wondered inside of their heart, is John the Baptist the one? The Pharisees sent some officers to ask him, are you the Christ? He said, no. I am not the Christ. I'm not even worthy to loose the latches of his shoes. But everyone was looking for the Christ because of this one prophecy. Everyone knew this prophecy. Man, if we had one scripture in the Bible that told the very year that the Christ was going to return to this earth, if it was just one scripture, everyone on this planet would know it because that would be huge news. That would be big news. Well, they had such a scripture. They had a scripture and a prophecy that told them when the Messiah would appear, and everyone is looking for him. Everyone is in great expectation. But this prophecy did not mention Jesus, and they did not know who the Messiah would be. And even though they saw the mighty miracles and works that Jesus did, they did not believe he was their Messiah because he did not fit what they had been taught. They were taught the Messiah is going to claim his rightful throne in Jerusalem. He's going to be our earthly king, and his kingdom will be eternal. Praise God. This was some of the key, the pieces of the puzzle, the prophecies that were given throughout the Old Testament. There was many of them that talked about he will be of the seed of David, the lineage of David. He will reign forever. His kingdom will be eternal, and it is. But they thought the Christ cannot die, the Messiah cannot die, and he's going to make Israel the greatest nation in the world again. He's going to restore the kingdom to Israel, and he's going to make an end of sin by driving the sinners out of our land. Our enemies, they viewed their enemies as outward enemies. The Romans who rule over us, who have occupied our land, he's going to drive the Romans out of our land. And they had their own teaching, their own thoughts that came from what they had been taught their whole life. And it's so hard for somebody to discard what they had been taught their whole life. Here in Luke chapter 18 and verse 31, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Jesus said to his disciples, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. Now this is the third time Jesus told them that they're going to Jerusalem and that he was going to be killed. He would be crucified and he would rise again the third day. This is the third time at least that Jesus told them. The third time that's written in the scriptures, he may have told them more, but this is at least the third time. And verse 34 says, and they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. They heard the words, but they could not receive this. This did not fit what they had been taught their whole life. Over in John 12, Jesus was telling them that the Son of Man must be lifted up. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. They knew what that phrase lifted up meant. That meant crucified. That was common language in their day. They said, we've heard out of the law or out of the sacred writings, what we call the Old Testament, that Christ abideth forever. Who is this Son of Man? In their mind, Christ could not die. That's why even his own disciples lost all hope when they saw Jesus was crucified and he was killed. They thought for sure he was the one. But now this was going against everything they had been taught in the synagogues, everything they had been taught from the leaders of Israel. But it was exactly what Jesus told them would happen. And I'm asking you to believe the prophecy of the Christ for exactly what God's own messenger, angel Gabriel, said instead of what has been taught. You have got to be able to let go of the lie, to lay hold of the truth. But Jesus said that truth will make you free. And if what you have trusted in and what you have believed has not made you free, it's because it can't. And the clock is ticking. Time is running out. Man, I am here to tell you the truth of the Word of God. All you have to do is want it. Want what God said that Christ would do. Want it and believe it and rejoice in it. And it will make you free. Praise God. But with the wrong believing, they could not receive what Jesus himself was telling them. And it's amazing to me, even over there in the book of Acts, that first chapter, Jesus had already risen from the dead and had spent 40 days with them, opening their understanding concerning the kingdom of God, showing them in the scriptures that Christ had to suffer these things and raise again from the dead. That this was all foretold by the prophets. All of this was written in the Word of God. And after 40 days of teaching them, just before he ascended into heaven, some of the disciples came to him and said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? It's like they could not get rid of the lie. That's not what God sent him to do. That is not what God's word said he would do. But that's what they had been taught. And in this last generation, the church world has been taught we're all sinners. Nobody's free from sin. It's almost like blasphemy when you stand up and preach the word of God means what it says. It says what it means. A child of God is not a sinner. A sinner is not a child of God. Christ made an end of sin when he died at the cross. He crucified our old man of sin. Praise God. And it's almost like the church world thinks of that as blasphemy. Now, I'm going to read another passage over here in the book of Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 23, verse 29, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous." You dress up the tombs and the garnishes. You put flowers on them. You clean them up. You make them look so beautiful. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Jesus said, "Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, who you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you that all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But Jesus said, how often I would have gathered you, but you would not. He said, you've killed the prophets. You've stoned those which were sent unto you. I was trying to gather you. Now, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, but Christ is eternal. John tells us who Christ is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. He's the creator of all things. He tells us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Creator was manifest. He was made flesh and born in the body of Jesus. But Jesus is the Christ. Now, a lot of the prophets of old, they would prophesy. They would warn Israel, that give them God's warnings, and they would say, the word of the Lord came to me saying, well, the word of the Lord is Christ. Christ had came to them. Peter tells us that Christ was in the prophets prophesying of the sufferings of Christ that would come and the glory that would follow. And when Jesus said, how often would I have gathered you? He's speaking as Christ. I sent prophets. You stoned them. You killed those that I've sent unto you. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now I'm going to go back over to Daniel 9. And in verse 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. He'll be crucified, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, the word flood, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it's a Hebrew word, which the definition says anything that overwhelms. Yes, it could be a flood of water, but anything that overwhelms. And I guarantee you that Roman army overwhelmed Jerusalem. But Jesus had already warned them of the destruction that was coming because they stoned the prophets. They killed those who were sent to them. And he knew they were going to crucify him. In another place, Jesus told them, he said, if you would have only known in this thy day what belonged to your peace, but now it is hid from your eyes. And he started telling them about the destruction that was coming, which came in 70 AD. It came 40 years after Calvary. But he warned them, if you would have only known what was prepared for you, what belonged to you, salvation was sent. The Redeemer was sent to make an end of sin. The sin in the heart. Everything God sent Christ to do would be done in the heart of the believer. It is the mystery of godliness is Christ in you. Praise God. But the people of the prince that shall come rejected their Messiah. He came unto his own and his own received him not. They rejected him. They crucified him. And they corrupted themselves. They brought the destruction upon themselves. And the 27th verse is the foundation for their end time doctrine scenario of the Antichrist. We've all heard the teachings of these famous world famous television ministers and prophets of the end time teaching, and they talk about one called the Antichrist that's going to rise up, and they're going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and he's going to move into the temple and declare himself as God. He's going to make a covenant with Israel. They're going to reinstate animal sacrifices and offer the animal sacrifices again in the temple, and 3.5 years into this, he's going to break his covenant with Israel and cause the sacrifice and oblations to cease. This is where they get all of their foundation of their end time prophecy scenario. And I'm telling you, this is all about the Christ. The 27th verse says, and he. Now, if you're telling the story about somebody and you say, and he, everyone knows who you're talking about, the one you're telling the story about, the one you've been talking about. And he, this is the Messiah, the Prince. Man, some of these modern translations, some of them say, and a evil ruler shall make a covenant with many. Some of them say, and a foreigner will make a covenant with many. Well, the King James Bible says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many. There's a difference between making a covenant and confirming a covenant. Confirming a covenant is one that was already made. Praise God. God had already made this covenant with Abraham. When he told Abraham, because you was willing to offer your son, because you have done this, he said, I will not withhold my son. He says, through thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Praise God. Jesus is that seed that was promised, that covenant that God had made with Abraham. And Jesus confirmed the covenant with many for 1 week. For that last week of the prophecy, but he was cut off in the middle of it. But he confirmed the covenant when he healed the sick, when he raised the dead, when he cleansed the lepers, when he... all of these great and mighty miracles that he did, he was confirming that he was the Christ, the Son. He was the Messiah, the Prince. It says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, halfway through that last 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblations to cease. When he was crucified, he not only nailed our sin nature, our old man, to the cross with him, He nailed the law of Moses to the cross. It was added because of transgression until the seed should come. He did away with the law of Moses. He finished the transgression. And when he offered himself the Lamb of God, not another animal sacrifice would ever be accepted by God. It would be an abomination to ever offer another animal sacrifice. He indeed caused the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. Overspreading, the Hebrew word, the definition is for the extremity. Man, what could be more extreme than what Jesus told them when he wept over them? What could be more extreme than they had already killed the prophets and those that God had sent unto them, and now they was going to kill the Son of God? God sent his own Son. God gave his own Son, the Messiah, the Prince, and Jesus knew they were going to crucify him, and he said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." It says here that for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Even unto the consumption, that end time war that is already beginning right now over there in Israel. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. It is already determined. It is set in motion. It is already determined beforehand. God wrote the history book before the events. It is already determined. But I want to tell you something. This last verse is what they base their foundation story scenario on for the Antichrist. This is all about the Christ. Not any of this belongs to one called the Antichrist. The words Antichrist was only used 5 times in the Bible. If you want to know what the Word of God says, instead of the television preachers and the big name preachers of these last days, the Word of God, only the Apostle John mentions the word Antichrist. He never says the Antichrist. He says the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the church today. He said there are already many, many Antichrists. And he always related it to the deceivers, to the false teachers that were flooding into the church in their day 2,000 years ago. We're living in the fullness of it. But Antichrist is anything that's anti the prophecy of this Christ, that he would make an end of sin. Anything that says we're all sinners, that's the spirit of Antichrist. And it has overtaken the church of the last generation. But it cannot take away from the truth. You cannot change truth. You do not choose what truth is. You can choose whether you believe it. And Jesus said if you'll believe it, it'll make you free. Free from sin. But if you take this 27th verse away from them that they build their doctrine of the Antichrist upon, if you take this verse away from them, the whole story, the whole scenario they have built of this end time crumbles. It has no foundation. If you build a story upon a lie, it's all a lie. It will all fall. This is the most important prophecy in the entire Bible. And I say to the unbeliever or to the new believer or to anyone who wants to be truly saved, learn this prophecy. It's only 4 verses. Read it in a King James Bible. Believe it for exactly what it says. If you want to know what the prophecy of the Christ means, read it. Praise God. Get that word inside of you. And then read the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6 tells how he made an end of sin. He crucified our old man. He that is dead is freed from sin. He that is crucified with Christ is freed from sin. Read it. Read it over and over. Get that word inside of you. Read the book of John. Read the letter of 1 John, which is all pointing to the Christ. Read these things in the King James Bible. And get that word inside of you until you can stand up and say, "I know who Jesus is. He is the Christ of prophecy. He is the Christ of God. I know what he was sent to do. I know in whom I have believed. And I believe in him with all of my heart." Praise God. This is the faith of Christ. This is that truth that'll make you free. Praise God. We are out of time. I'm trying to keep these podcasts to an hour or less. But this is the most important prophecy in the entire Bible. Read it. Learn it. Possess it. Praise God. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you.